Hello, listeners. Welcome to Business IQ Radio on 105.1 WBNH. And this is your host, Don Byrne. And I'm here with my co-host, friend, and colleague from the Small Business Development Center in Manchester, Andrea O'Brien. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Don. How are you today?
Doing very well, waiting for the spring to come. If you're listening on a podcast, we're doing this at the midpoint of March, and it's still doggone cold.
It's freezing today. There's a big wind chill out there, very cold.
Yeah, people would be impressed to know you're actually wearing your coat in the studio.
Yes, with my gloves.
Yeah, I actually had your gloves on at one point in time. So, listeners, if you're not familiar with our show, we are a business talk show for Bedford, New Hampshire, here on Bedford Radio. And we have a variety of different guests. You can find our shows on podbean.com. And I do encourage you to go in and check some of those out. And shortly, we will be publishing a comprehensive list that you'll be able to find online of all of our shows. And we love to get some feedback. So if you have any feedback on this show, on potential guests, on topics, we cover everything from cybersecurity and other areas of technology to talking about business planning contests, to talking about programs and initiatives of the legislature to make New Hampshire a more friendly business environment, just a whole potpourri of different topics. So please feel free to contact us and let us know what your thoughts might be. And Andrew, I think you might actually, in the spirit of that, have a couple of announcements to make about some upcoming things. I want to try to get to our guests because I think we have a lot to talk about with the Professor Jugunowski today. But do you have anything you want to just bring out to the listeners' attention?
Yes, there is one event that I'd like to underscore, and that is called Women Angels 2, Getting Started in Angel Investing. And so it's by invitation only. However, if you're interested in being invited, I think it would be, something that you could contact Liz Gray, who is at lizg@nhbf.com. That's Liz, L-I-Z, G as in goat, at N-H, B as in boy, F as in Frank, A as in apple.com.
And is there a place online that they can learn more about the event to see if it's something that's suitable for them? Is there a website that's doing this?
It's Live Free and Start.
Live
Free and Start is the, if you Google Live Free and Start, there should be something on that.
Sure.
The important thing is that it's for women who have considered being investors in the angel arena. And so the breakfast, it's a breakfast meeting. It's to talk about that. And it's invitation only because they can only really talk to accredited investors.
Right. Sounds like a wonderful networking opportunity.
It is, if you're at all interested in business. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that the SBA Business Awards have been published. You know, they've been announced. And I am working off of my phone right now, so I'm trying to...
You see how smart your phone really is.
How smart is... It's pretty smart, I have to say. It's we're very close to being able to... I'm very close to that email. But they have business, you know, the business of the year. Here it is. Very smart phone. And I'm just going to name a few. For example, New England Woman-Owned Business of the Year. It was Throwback Brewery, not from Northampton. And you've got New Hampshire and New England Young Entrepreneur of the Year. And that is Quinn Warden of PT United LLC of Nashua.
And will there be an event of some type that is coming up?
There will be a lunch. It is a reception. Yeah. It's usually at the Manchester Country Club. And although I don't think it's been announced yet, but the winners have been announced. You've got Tim's Truck Capital and Auto Sales as the family-owned business winner. You've got a veteran-owned business, which is Carl Soderberg and Mike Frizzell, another brewing company. They own Abel Ebenezer Brewing Company. And there's Financial Services Champion of the Year. That was Steve, I think it's Henchy of TD Bank. And lastly, we've got the New Hampshire Small Biz Champions of the Year. And actually, one of them has been our guest already, Marty Parashon.
Oh, yeah, sure, Marty.
And Todd Workman. They've both worked really hard on in the revitalization of Franklin.
Right.
But Marty also owns his own small business, which is Outdoor New England.
Right. Well, congratulations to all of the winners. And if you'd like to find out more about this, I'm sure, enter into a search engine, New Hampshire winners. And, of course, I do want to go back to something which Andrea touched on, which is the Live Free and Start is a terrific website. Actually, after we had our guest on here, I spent some time looking at it. Really very, very good information on there. And, of course, always you can go to the Mother Lode, which is NH, Small Business Development Center, NHSBDC.org, to see a calendar of events, or use that as a launching point to find out about other things and launch some inquiries. And I'm sure that Andrea and her colleagues throughout the state would be happy to help.
Thank you. So we have a great show today, I think. It's a topic that all businesses really have to focus on because it's your outward-facing presentation to your customer base.
It's your brand. It's your image.
It's your brand. It's about graphic design. Our guest today is Joanne Jagodowski. She's from the Manchester Community College. She is the head of the graphic design department, where she's teaching students the skills that it takes in graphic design. She's getting her master's from Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac, yep.
Yep, in instructional design. She's been doing this for a long time, and she does a great job. The students are very well-prepared. And I'm the recipient of that because I have an intern, and the intern is actually doing graphic design for many of our clients, and it's wonderful. Well, we'd like to welcome Joanne Jagodowski to our program, Business IQ Radio, here on 105.1. Joanne, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to meet with us and talk with us about graphic design.
Even though you misled her.
I did?
Yeah, I was told that story. We can pin it on her. You told her the wrong address for the...
I did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm here.
She went through half a tank of gas trying to find a way here. So we appreciate you making the effort to get and join us today, Joanne.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So I met you. Well, before we talk about graphic design, we always like to hear about our guests and about how you ended up being what we call a resident expert at... For you, it would be graphic design. And so can you tell us how you came to it?
How I came to graphic design. I actually was an elementary school teacher, and I taught in different places all over the country. And our family moved to New Hampshire, and I saw an ad at a community college to learn a new software program called PageMaker. So I wanted to do something creative, so I decided to take the class while I was also working as an instructional aide in Manchester. And that led into graphic design and seeing what graphic design was all about. So I decided to actually pursue an associate's degree at what was NH, New Hampshire Community Technical College, and ended up with a graphic design degree and was able to combine my educational degree with my graphic design degree and eventually go back and start teaching at the college.
So what's your position at the college today?
I am chair of the Humanities, English, Art, and Design Department. And I'm also a professor of graphic design.
Oh, excellent. And were you a doodler as a child?
Yes, I was, actually. I did a lot of drawing as a child. And I always had my sketch pad, always had paper, pencil around me. Kind of fell out of it for a little bit. But when I started teaching in the elementary school classrooms, I loved having the art. We didn't have art teachers at that point because of layoffs. So I was able to teach art. I loved the bulletin board, setting up the papers for the students and doing display, and didn't realize that was part of graphic design, actually. So it's been nice to be able to combine both of those degrees.
Yeah.
So you're not surprised with the resurgence of interest in coloring on the part of adults?
I am not, especially with the doodling coloring book. I actually have one of my own, Jungle Animals, and it's a de-stressor, it's a relaxer, and it actually taps some, your creative ability and potential.
We've run into some people recently who have taken to doing graphic novels, and I guess that's yet another expression. I know that anime and manga are very popular in Asia, particularly in Japan, and I guess this is their way of finding a place here in the American, the Western culture.
Yes, and I actually have a lot of students who are interested in that type of work as well, but there's not a lot of especially in New England, there's not a lot of job opportunities, so they do find themselves in graphic design classes as well, because they can still pursue some of that illustration work and add their text to it from their typography classes and things.
You know, in the last 2 weeks, I've heard two different people who are publishing their own comic book, but they're adult comic books. I think one is called American Splendor. The gentleman just passed away. And basically, it's retelling of their life and their events during the day, but it's done in a way that is... He also gives expression to his artistic capabilities. And then another person is doing one on paranormal things. I heard.
Oh, that's interesting.
An interview. And very interesting. But it's for adults.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a new
market area.
A new market, yeah.
So on the many topics that you touch upon as a graphic design teacher and expert, can you list a few of the forms that your students might focus on, or some of the projects? I know that I've walked in the lobby of the community college and have seen some outstanding artwork and some outstanding artwork. And so can you talk a little bit about how the class and how it, you know, what the kinds of things that you work on with students?
Okay. When the students first come, their freshman level courses, a lot of them do not know the programs yet. We use a lot of Adobe projects, and so we're teaching the students also to be craftsmen. So there are some collage projects with images from magazines, found images. There's collage projects with pre-printed papers. And there's a method to doing that and not jumping right onto the computer as well for the students, because the computer is a tool to do designs. It doesn't have to be the design tool. You can sketch your designs ahead of time. You can use different mediums to create the artwork. They do a lot of illustrations and collages, and we then start integrating the computers into that. So you might be talking about the shopping bags. You might have seen
bags. Yeah, they're really nice.
So in color theory, that's their final project, where they start off doing collages, and they're learning how to cut and paste paper very neatly, because when it comes time to go to the computer and create their shopping bag design, we print it, they have to put it together. Mm. So they could have this wonderful design on the computer and on the flat printout, but if they didn't practice the craftsmanship, then that design would not be as effective if it was poorly put together. So we do hands-on, we do computer as well.
You know, that just underscores how important it is in the business world to master
presentation,
brand, graphics. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the visual part of doing business.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And everybody needs it. And nobody really can afford it. I mean, some can afford it, and some do, I'm sure, pay top dollar for excellent designers. But a lot of our clients, it's one of the things that they might bootstrap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, my nephew is a good, you know, I had my nephew do the logo. And who knows if the nephew really knows how to do logos. But so I think it's really interesting that it kind of permeates the business world, and we're so, you know, we're maybe a little oblivious to how important it is.
Well, it just ties into marketing. So everything is marketing. Every person is marketed. Even the graphic designers, when they are going into their internship opportunities, they need to understand the importance of marketing. They do take a public speaking class because they need to know how to present themselves and also their work. So it is learning how to market, and everybody can benefit from marketing and graphic design.
And although we believe that radio should be the dominant media in the way in which people communicate, should be orally, more and more we see that our society is one in which
we're visual.
Yeah, we're very visual. And look at the growth of YouTube.
Yes.
And look at the video blogs that are going out there, and the way that people are, rather than reading a book or an instruction manual, they'd rather watch a 2-minute video.
Yep.
About things. So I think these are really critical skills you're teaching.
It really is. There's so many things that you can just go online to look at how to do something and see a video. And so we're actually incorporating that into our classes a little bit as well, because, you know, we can talk to the students about things, but they also need to see things firsthand. So it is important for them. And video and visual communication is very, very important.
It's a picture's 1,000 words, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, we're part of a company, you know, our logo was, we were doing a video editing software. If a picture's worth 1,000 words, what's a movie worth?
Right? Yeah.
So,
very true.
So I want to put you on a spot here a little bit. I'm barely able to draw a stick man.
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually teach someone to be artistic, or is it really a skill that they have to be born with. What do you think?
I think a lot of the students are drawn into graphic design because they do have that artistic ability. That being said, we do offer drawing one classes at Manchester Community College, and it has a full range of students' abilities in there, and everybody can be taught the basics. So even though you draw a stick figure, we can still teach you how to shade that stick figure, how to draw it in proportion, so you still can get beyond that. And I do think, you know, there is innate artistic ability, but there are things artistically that can be taught.
Yeah, growing up in New York City, which you can probably tell from my accent, I was exposed on PBS to a gentleman who used to, I think his name was Nagy. If you can draw a square, a cube, and and some other shape, you can draw basically anything. And he used to have these wonderful classes in which he'd show you how to combine basically geometric figures.
Yes, yep.
To come up. So if you break everything down to a small size, not quite a cubist, but I guess you're down in that area.
It's simple shapes. And my favorite drawing book growing up was How to Draw Dogs, and that's exactly what it was. So everything was based on the shapes, and somehow those shapes, if you follow the directions, actually turned into dogs. And it actually did. I still have the book somewhere.
That's cool. So tell me about we're lucky enough to host a couple of your interns, your students, at the Small Business Development Center. And I have to say that my clients that need that kind of support are always, they're so thrilled and grateful that they can get professional graphic design assistance. And without the help of the students, you know, I think they really aren't quite sure how to raise the game for their own brand. But
I appreciated with the student I worked with. She actually told me what colors to wear and things like that. Yeah. Helped me with my color
She's
drinking.
She's good with colors. Right. So tell me, how did you start the internship program, and has it been going on for a long time?
Yeah, the graphic design program started about 35 years ago as commercial design and illustration. And then in the 70s and the 80s, they started incorporating computers. In the 90s, we changed to graphic design because it was just the terminology that was used in the field. The internship program started in the early 1990s, actually, so before I was there, but it was a critical component. When students were going through the design program, at that point, 2 years associate's degree, you would be able to go out and get employed in the field. The field is different now, so typically our students do go on for a four-year degree, but the internship component is still very valuable, and we've kept it in even though our students may transfer, because they have a skill set that they need to practice in a real situation, real clients, real deadlines, clients that change their mind, clients that know exactly what they want, even though it may not be the best idea.
Even though it's bad.
Yes, yes. So
the bubble.
Why are you looking at
the
me?
Bubble, Don?
Oh, I'm going to have to ask my student about that one. Okay. It really gives them the experience and a lot of times the confidence because, you know, in a classroom project, they might have 4 or 5 weeks to work on something. Real world, you might have 2 weeks to work on that. You're presenting in a classroom to your students who you're comfortable with. All of a sudden, you're presenting to a client. It just makes it that much more real for them. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, that I've really worked hard since I've become chair of the department, actually, is to bring that service learning component in as well. So we do, with your organization, we've also partnered up with other nonprofits because these students have a talent and a skill set that is desperately needed by especially a lot of the nonprofits. And it's a mutually beneficial relationship for them. And I want the students to understand that they have a talent that they can use to help somebody for the greater good. So the service learning aspect has been very important for me.
In terms of one of those soft skills that you learn, I was very impressed by the student that I worked with because she's dressed professionally. Mm-hmm. And she came in and she had an agenda.
Yes.
And she asked, you know, how much time do you have? I mean, the basics that compared to some of the students, the interns we had from the IT department, didn't have any of those skills.
Yeah. No, so we do practice
congratulations
that. Congratulations
on that.
Thank you. During their school presentations, they are required to dress up. You know, and if they come in jeans, they're not going to present that day. Mm-hmm. So there are some hard lessons sometimes for some of the students, but we do this because they're marketing themselves and how they look, if they have their agenda, if they have their materials on time. That's very, very important for them, and that's what's going to have them be a success in the industry.
Mm-hmm. You know, those early days, you mentioned technology and how it's changed everything. Desktop publishing has changed everything. And I think back to when we tied graphic design to marketing, the TV show Mad Men. That is like the ultimate in graphic design, marketing, brand pitch, and how long it must have you know, these advertising firms now can be a one-man shop.
Yes, yeah.
And you can print it out in any form. You can print it on vinyl. You can print it on a tissue paper. You can.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
It's changed a lot since then.
And, yeah.
But with the ease of having the software and the computer, everybody can be a graphic designer sometimes, which is not necessarily. So that's the flip side of that. So and we really saw that with web design. When websites were getting more, everybody wanted a website, then everybody became a website designer.
Right, right.
And they weren't trained in the use of typography, the use of the colors. So that's something that we incorporated into our program as well. So our students do have an option to take two classes to work in that area as well, to build their skills up, because it's everybody can design a website using some of the software.
Not everyone.
Well,
hello.
Well, people, they think everybody can, but... You see what is right out there. There are some very poorly designed websites because people don't have an understanding of contrast of color or readability of fonts.
Or I love the websites that let's use every font.
Yes, everything screams. Yes.
And
so I was also going to ask, I'm aware that there's a large and I think still growing community of gamers down in the, particularly around the Boston area.
Yep.
And that's a hotbed for development. And I would think that a lot of these skills would translate right into that industry, which, I mean, I see Arnold Schwarzenegger on promoting, you know, games and people are playing them on their phones and everything. So this has to be yet another outlet.
It actually is. It can be an outlet for the students that are very artistic. So we've actually had a student who is going on for game animation. So starting with us and taking some classes and then realizing that that's where he wants to pursue. So when we talk about color, when we talk about perspective, all of these things that, you know, we're trying to recreate three-dimensional environments on a 2D screen, everything that they're learning in those graphic design classes can help them to do that and be successful in that.
And soon that'll change because we're moving rapidly into virtual
reality.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
A lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a lot of mathematical skills, I'm assuming, that your students...
The computers do the math, which is very nice for a lot of our students because sometimes the art brain does not necessarily work well with the math brain or the science brain. A lot of the software does the math calculations for the students, and I actually appreciate that too. I'm not much of a math person either.
But they all know what fractals are.
They actually do because we approach them from a design sensibility from that.
True.
Yes, the patterns.
What's a fractal? Tell us what a fractal is.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
We'll talk about the Mandelbrot. set off the air. So,
but without the graphic design intern embedded in our office, when clients come in and need some graphic design work, I send them to a website called Fiverr. Have you heard of Fiverr? Is that it? Where you can outsource, it's crowdsourced graphic design from all over the world. And you, and it's cheap, very cheap.
But the goal is $5.
$5 for
you have a $5 offering.
A simple, right. And then, of course, if you want it.
The upgrade.
Right. With text, that's 20 and then depending on what kind of file it comes in. And, it's just amazing how you can connect to somebody halfway around the world to come
create
up,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can pay $5 and get somebody to do a radio 30-second commercial for you, wish you happy birthday. There were some interesting businesses. I know someone for quite a while was successful. He said, I think it was an Israeli gentleman, for $5 I'll make all the decisions you don't want to make. And people were sending him decisions, should I marry this man and should I do this and whatever. And he would just make the decisions.
That's
and collect
idea.
$5. So some, you know, entrepreneurism really grows and develops. But how many students do you have in your program, and have you seen a growth over the years?
We definitely go through ebbs and flows. So typically, especially at the community college level too, when job security is high, we have lower students. When unemployment is an issue, we definitely have more students that are coming back. So we've had larger classes, we've had smaller classes. It's really, I think we're probably about over 30 freshmen at this point going through the programs. What we have noticed, especially in the last 5-8 years, is our students are going through more than 2 years because they tend to be working. So we used to have very traditional students who would come directly out of high school, go to college for 2 years, then either go on to 4-year or they would go to go directly into the workforce. And now our students, they have so many more things that they need to be doing, and including work. And so they're going through in 3 or 4 years, and that's more common. So that's a little bit challenging, tracking our numbers when we have students that are going through very, very much at their own pace.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to WBNH 105.1 Bedford Community Radio, and this is Business IQ Radio. And our guest today is from the Manchester Community College. It's Joanne Jagodowski. And she is the head of the graphic design department, among other categories.
About five hats that she wears.
And we're talking about the importance of, well, we're talking about the graphic design program at the community college, but also how important graphic design is to the business community and why a business should pay attention to it. And so, Joanne, in your... you know, you're an expert in graphic design. You've been doing it a long time. Are there colors that people should stay away from? Or is it, you know, are there...
Is orange really the new black? Right?
Right. Does blue make you spend more money? I mean, are there...
Well, believe it or not, color is very interesting. There are color predictor companies out there. Pantone is one of them. So you can go on their website to see what will be the color of the year or what is the color of the year. There's definitely color trends that graphic designers need to pay attention to as well, because if you're working on a campaign that's going to be 6 months out, you really need to know what colors are going to be more prominent and are going to almost like fit in with the other marketing that's going on in the world. So we're learning more and more about colors and color blindness. And so the students do learn color combinations that they need to stay away from.
Avocado green.
Oh, what decade is that?
I love avocado.
In my youth.
Yes, avocado green, goldenrod.
It's coming back.
No, not in your appliances, at least I don't think. No.
Although she drives a car that color.
Not okay.
Yeah. Boy, colorblind, that's got to be a difficult road for a student who wants to be a graphic design professional. Have you experienced that as a teacher?
In the color class, we do a science and color day. So I have my students doing all sorts of different science experiments, because so much of color is based on perception, your visual sight. But one of the things the students do need to do is to go through some colorblind tests that are a little bit more challenging than just the flip book at the eye doctors, because I need to know, they need to know if there's certain color combinations that they need to stay away from. So in the past, I've had some students who have had some color deficiencies. We know what range they are, so they stay away from those colors when they're designing, or they know that they need to talk to somebody else to get a second opinion. Every once in a while, I have a student who did not realize they had some deficiency. And color blindness affects men and women, so usually it's that people think more men, but women will have it as well.
Well, look at how Don is dressed today. I mean, it's obvious he's... No, only kidding.
I think he looks sharp.
He does.
You can take me anywhere twice, the second time to apologize.
No, but... I'm terrible with color. Decorating, very hard to decorate. And I wondered if it was common that you can see these strengths or weaknesses in your general student classroom.
Well, their color class is one of their first foundation classes, so we definitely build that skill, and they're improving that skill as they go through. So it is something that we need to address right away. And we also have a basic graphic design 1 course where the students learn how to unify, how to create focal points, how to create lines of continuation, visual pathways. So those are the two fundamental courses that once they take those, they're going to be more successful in their later courses.
That has to be helpful when they deal with clients because, you know, they represent a fraction of the population that has this challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are clients that have the same sort of challenges. Yep. And so if they have a greater sensitivity to this issue, they can probably deal with them more easily.
Yes, they can. And there are certain color combinations that are going to be successful there's actually a couple different sites, probably more than what I'm familiar with, but students can actually import their design in and then they can see how it looks based on somebody that has a color deficiency. So they can see the examples so they'll know if it's going to work or if they're going to know if there's not enough contrast between the colors. So that's very interesting as well.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you were talking about before in terms of your students. It seems to me that we're being told that there are many non-traditional students going to the community college and taking advantage of the community college. Are you seeing people returning for a second or third career or perhaps a midlife change that are showing an interest in this field and coming into your program, or is that in some other areas?
That actually comes in waves as well. So we certainly do have a lot of older people coming back for a change of career. I actually was one of those people because I was working as an educator. So I was in my early 30s with classmates that were right out of high school. So I can relate to students of that level as well. So we have had some people who do that. They're just looking maybe to change, or, you know, you think about 10 years ago, how much different graphic design even was as well. So sometimes we get somebody who was employed in the industry, you know, 20 years ago, stepped out of the industry and then wants to go back into it. And it's changed so much that they do need to come back and take some courses. It's hard to identify a traditional student right now, besides that student maybe directly out of high school that is going full time. We just don't have that many of those students. You know, we have a great mix. So it's actually very fun. One of our drawing classes actually had the youngest student on campus at the time who was homeschooled and taking high school dual credit, for the drawing class. And then we also had the oldest student at the time who was in her 80s who wanted to learn how to paint. So one class or draw, I'm not sure which one it was, but one class had the youngest and the oldest at the time. And that really makes the critiquing and just talking to each other, the class dynamic, so much more interesting.
Wow. And is it an even split between men and women in the class?
Graphic design traditionally is a male-dominated field. We see more females in our classes, though. So our females are considered the non-trad students, but most of, if you walk by the classroom, you're going to see a higher ratio of females than males. Mm.
Also, one of the things we're always concerned about on the show is the brain drain. Are there jobs in New Hampshire that people can go, or do they go to school here? Do they go through all of the training and then they're pulled down to the magnet of Boston?
We've got some hotspot areas, especially the seacoast for graphic design. There's a lot of good agencies. Manchester actually has a lot of nice places as well and opportunities for students. Sometimes people feel like they're either you're going for graphic design, you have to go to a graphic design agency or a marketing or an advertising agency. And that's not the case. There are a lot of smaller businesses that do need graphic designers that employ graphic designers as well. So the jobs are out here. You know, they're certainly around. A lot of our students do continue on to 4 years. And we are seeing more of our students going out of state to other 4-year colleges and universities, unfortunately.
Is there a program at UNH that they go into, or do they go to the Arts Institute?
We have articulation agreements with some of the area colleges, including the Art Institute, and we send students to Plymouth as well. We do have students who, like I said, go out of state, though, a little bit more often as well. UNH at Manchester and Durham, they don't have a graphic design class program.
Right. Yeah, The Manchester's trying to be a STEM school. That's the lane that they've chosen
to
be in.
Yep. Not STEAM, unfortunately. No, I was excited STEAM. When STEAM came.
Right.
And then they took it out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
Because A is for the arts.
A was for the arts.
Yeah. And if you double the A, you get athletics.
I imagine that the students might enjoy freelancing throughout their training.
Yep.
And then afterwards, is that hard for a student to kind of get engaged in, or do they, have you heard if it can be a lucrative, not lucrative, but
it gets them out in the industry. Does. So we do have some students that are actively freelancing as well. So we do in their internship class, we actually talk about contracts, putting contracts together, because that's one of the discussions we'll have. It's like, how many of you are freelancing? How many of you actually have contracts? And a lot of them don't, and they don't understand that part of the business. So we do try to cover that as well for them, because they need to know that their intellectual property, it will at some point go over to the client if there's an exchange of money. And then how do you protect yourself? You show the person the work. If they look at the work, they may take it with them. You may not get paid for that. So we do talk about the contracts and more of the professional aspects of that. A lot of them, you want to be freelancers. If you ask them what they're hoping their career will be, is either freelance or owning their own business. I don't know. That's a challenge. You really do need to start in the industry and making contacts and connections prior to doing that. But the freelancing certainly will help them.
Have you ever thought that, you have internships, so at least our business clients can access the skills that the students have. Another area which we touched on a little bit were websites. Of course, another graphic component, but also heavy technology component. I've imagined, you know, that it might be interesting to have a clinic of sorts where individuals could go with their small projects and call on students at, you know, at the community college for, you know, freelance work. They get paid for it, but not as high a rate as if it, the student were a full-blown professional in that realm. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that website development, for example, simple website development that might stump somebody who's not savvy with the templates or graphics, you know, they could just go to the community college, to the clinic. You know, you call the clinic phone number. Mm-hmm. There's students standing by. They sign up for particular times. Maybe businesses come in. Maybe they don't. The business pays them and for the work they do, which is much more reasonable than going to a full-blown professional service. I always thought that would be kind of like the best of both worlds. You get practice in what your expertise is. Mm-hmm. And you get to earn a little money. The community college really is, you know, has this active community component to it. But that was just, you know, just an idea I've had.
It's an interesting idea. We don't have a lot of students who stay for the two classes in the web design, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them, if they're going to take those classes, they will continue on in 4 year for that. But it is an interesting idea. It would be.
It could be for any marketing.
It really could. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Yep.
Do you have competitions? I know that when we deal with some of the business classes, they have like business plan contests and they do things like that. Is there an equivalent where students come and show their work, or they try to compete in any way, shape, or form, or is that sort of not the culture?
We don't do any competitions in the classes per se, but our seniors do have a design show that they present, and it's open to the public. So in May, we're going to have an open house, and then the college actually has an open house, and then the students, graphic design students, will have their work on display. The freshmen will be filling the halls with their work, and then we have a little design gallery space, and our seniors will put their portfolios on display as well. So that's a nice event for the communities, for their friends and families to come see what they're working on as well. And so they're going to do all the marketing. They create their own tagline. They create their own logos. I think it is on puns this semester. But it's a senior class, so I don't get to hear all of it. They kind of want to surprise everybody as they're planning it through. Their own professor knows. So it is a nice event for the students to showcase their talents and show what they've done. And especially, you know, graduation is great, but then their families being able to see the work that they've accomplished over the semesters that they've been there, it's a really nice event for the students.
We'll be sure to send somebody over because we can do a public service announcement.
Terrific, thank you.
For you, we'll be happy to record them.
Yep.
And what people then do is they sometimes take the material that's professionally recorded here, and you can put them on, send them to other radio stations, and they're more likely to put them on.
That would be
because
great.
Because they're nicely rendered, so we'd be very pleased to do that.
Thank you.
Can you give me a sense of what the actual curriculum is, because it sounds like you can go in a lot of different directions. And, you know, are there a lot of elective courses that they get open to, or is it sort of a prescribed?
It's a fairly prescribed model, and it's a very rigorous model because we've had to add the technology aspects through the years. So they go through their graphic design. It's almost their foundation course, graphic design one. They also take color theory. They take a foundation in typography. They will also take full courses in Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop and InDesign. So that's a core freshman level courses that they have. Their courses in their freshman or their excuse me their projects in those freshman courses sometimes are a little structured because they're learning the tools and the techniques, and so the creativity we build in a little bit later for that. In their senior classes, that's when they can really branch out. So they may have a package design that they have to create. Either for an alcohol product or olive oil, and they have to create labels for that. They create boxes for that. They create billboards, newspaper ads. So that's where they have more diversity. So they're given a problem to solve, but they choose their companies and they choose, you know, how to present it. It's really where they can start to shine for that. But we really build off of those foundation courses.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think one of the nice things about having access to Andrea's clients, which are so diverse, is that, as we say, once you're on the internet, you're an international company. And there are very different considerations. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I became very sensitive to early in my career was if we're doing ads, don't show all American cities. yes. as the backdrop.
Yes.
You know, be sensitive to the clothing mm-hmm. style.
Yep.
And the, you know, the ethnicity of the people.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that too. Colors, especially the use of colors as well. So that is something that our students are aware of. And we talk about that, you know, if are you planning something for a regional, state, regional, the East Coast, United States, or is it going to go, you know, nationwide or worldwide? You need to take that into account and really watch how you design. So it is something we're adding in the billboard project that goes with the marketing of the alcohol product or the olive oil. The students are also now creating a billboard in a different language as well. So it's something that we've got to do a little bit more of, I think, in our curriculum, and we're starting to really kind of key into that and adapt our curriculum a little bit to make it a little bit out, not so American-centric, I guess.
Very interesting to me. I'm sorry, Andrew.
No, when you say billboard, mm-hmm. yeah. do you mean full-blown billboard?
Well, yes, so they actually have to learn how to design something that will print out correctly at a full-blown billboard size. They don't print it out, but we look at the files to make sure. And then they present it, you know, proportionally reduced when they go to present in the class, you know, a mock-up of the billboard. We've had students who actually take foam core and they build their own billboard and they add a little bit of light to it and, you know, really to make that presentation shine when they have to do that day. Yep.
Yeah, that caught my attention as well. I had a client down in Louisiana and they owned 158 billboards. Now, wow. It was in a different context. Mm-hmm. Which was, how could they survive hurricanes? Mm-hmm. And so we had to talk about, you know, the techniques and mechanisms to allow them to survive high wind environments mm-hmm. and things like that. But I never realized what a thriving and can be a very lucrative business.
Yes.
Yeah. Owning some billboards are. So. Yeah.
And now that's even changing, though, too, because a lot of them are going to electronic.
That's
so,
exactly,
you know,
right.
we're yeah. watching right. that billboard design. You know, how long is that going to be a viable medium?
Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting. About how many people have been through the program? Any idea over the
wow.
over the years?
I mean, not
for 35 years, but yeah. I mean.
I just don't know.
So it sounds like you have about 25 to 30 a year that graduate, isn't it?
No, because we have the freshmen, but then they go through at different rates. So we go anywhere from sometimes as low as 12 up to 25 for class sizes. Mm-hmm. It really just varies depending on the students and their workloads and how long they're taking to go through.
Yeah, I was speaking to Andrea and suggesting that it really would make some sense to, and we can actually help make the introductions, although you may know the people, but having your students become familiar with the 7 different business incubators mm-hmm. around the state, particularly right here in Manchester, the Alpha Loft,
yep.
because those are startup companies that are absolutely looking for those skills mm-hmm. and probably at the price point that yep. would be acceptable to both the students as well as to the companies. And really let them jumpstart. Now you're going to get a biased approach towards technology mm-hmm. because that's the nature of what the yep. incubators are.
Yep.
Although Andrea has a wide range. I mean, everything from people designing handbags to all kinds of businesses,
yes.
food delivery, mm-hmm. and many, many different
right consulting and fitness yep. and I mean restaurants and baked goods and but. Yeah, they are so happy when they hear it. Not just about a logo too, letterhead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suggest that clients have letterhead for when they correspond or send an invoice mm-hmm. or a thank you, you know, note cards to help with their networking.
Yeah, and you're listening to WBNH 105.1 Business IQ Radio with Joanne Jagodowski. Pretty close?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. And we're talking about, she is the chair of the departments, and I use that as a plural, over at Manchester Community College that are providing interns. And am I going to get in trouble if I say to our listeners that if they're interested in trying to connect with an intern to contact Andrea to operate as an intermediary between maybe you and the students to
that would actually be
people.
Really good because we do field some phone calls and it's a challenge always trying to find the people for the interns to work with because we do sometimes get a lot of requests and so what our focus really needs to be refined a little bit so having them contact through Andrea would probably be the best
and there are certain times during the year when you're actually starting
yes.
this program, right?
The internships, they start in January and they run through May. So our students are typically interviewing for internships in November and December. So that's when they really work on those interview skills and then get ready to make those phone calls and connect and to be interviewed.
So for listeners, if you're interested, probably in the October-November timeframe, reach out to Andrea O'Brien over at the Small Business Development Center in Manchester. Make your interests and needs known, and she will do what she can to try to help you out.
We actually have a student right now who's putting together a poster for the radio station of all our a collage or poster of all our guests that have appeared on this show so far. And the other day he said vector, something about a vector drawing. Do you have vectors or?
Maybe for your logos.
My logos, so, right.
So he's using the right terminology, if that's what he's asking you.
As opposed to a raster.
Something
image.
About a. Yes, opposed to Photoshop, which is raster, yeah.
Oh.
So logos are vector, so we could scale them up or down and they don't lose any resolution.
Without getting gritty or fuzzy.
Yes, or pixelated.
Pixelated,
yes.
The words that were not in our vocabulary 35 years ago.
I was impressed with the student that I worked with because. So few people really understand the difference between a typeface and a font.
Yes.
And she did.
Yes.
And I said, oh,
that's
well, this is a professional.
What's the
one
difference?
One is the design and the other is the size of the lettering.
Ah.
To some degree, right? Is that
pretty
arguably close?
Yes.
She wasn't going to embarrass me on the station and say, well, that's absolutely wrong, Dawn.
So. Calligraphy is so much fun. You know, I think her specialty is calligraphy. She said she really enjoys that, but... Have you done any calligraphy?
We don't do the hand lettering that way. They do comp when they're working on thumbnails or roughs because those are drawings. So they comp the type, they write the type out, but we don't teach calligraphy.
No,
nope.
Yeah, it's so interesting as you were talking before about the trends that come and go, and I think back. My wife and I are involved with the Friends of the Bedford Cemeteries because the town isn't in a position to pay to preserve. Historic markers here, but you can determine who the artist was that carved the gravestones, and there are different typefaces that were used in different styles and all this. And you can almost forensically determine what was the age, when was this done, who did it.
You can do that with colors. You can do that with fonts and type as well. And our students actually do take a history of graphic design course.
Really?
Where they learn about what came before.
I'm going to take some classes. I'll tell you. This really sounds interesting.
Yeah, tell us about the history a little bit.
Well, it's an interesting class to take. The students need to know what came before, design styles, type, font. It's all cyclical. It'll come back into style, a little bit of variation, but it's going to come back into style at some point. So they also need to know what came before. So they don't inadvertently copy it. You've got to be careful. You know, you might have this great idea for a logo in your head, and then you sketch it out, you show it to somebody. They say, hey, I recognize that because it's used elsewhere, and you just don't realize you don't make that connection. So having the students learn what's come before, it really does help them to create sometimes very unique or original ideas.
So do you have any interesting projects that some of the students have done you can tell us about, some that – surprised you or interested you or you found very
surprised
curious
or interested or that's a tough question. I always love seeing their work.
I love your story about the person who actually built a mini billboard to show their work off.
I have one that I love.
Okay. Yeah,
so we hold a OSHA roundtable, and your class was assigned the project of coming up with a flyer.
Yes.
For the roundtable and each.
And actually, that was Karen's class. Just want to clarify.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Karen Macedo.
Yes. And the students came up with it was an amazing, it was construction font. It was a construction safety roundtable. They had a construction font, which we use over the year for the 12 flyers that we produced.
Yep.
And I was so impressed. It just
letters
raised,
in hard hats. Is that what they
mean? Well, no. I mean, it just raised the game to see the do not cross tape. You know, they managed to incorporate all of that into the font that went on to brand this particular series of workshops, and the way they presented it to us, I felt like I was in a boardroom, and they would unveil. You know, they would talk you through the idea, their train of thought. This is why we did it this way, and It was, I felt very pampered.
Very
I felt
good.
Graphically pampered. It was
That's
great.
Nice. That's good.
So you mentioned one of your other colleagues. Who are the other people in your program?
I have one other full-time colleague who's Karen Macedo. She's been through the school for, I think, 5 or 6 years, maybe a little bit longer. Time goes by really fast. And then there's a lot of supporting adjuncts there for the programs. So we've have some people who have been teaching part-time, full-time graphic design jobs and teaching part-time for many, many years. And as a college, we rely on our adjuncts a lot to help us. But what's really nice is that these are people who are working in the field as well. So they're not just talking about how to do something. They're actually in the field doing that, watching the trends. Graphic design is a discipline that you need to be always learning. You can't just turn off the learning because the programs can change. Every 6 months, Adobe comes out with something more new and exciting, and a tool that you used yesterday all of a sudden doesn't quite work the same way. So you're always learning, and you also need to stay on top of trends as well. So it is, it's dynamic and exciting. And again, our adjuncts that are teaching in the field really are very helpful in keeping us current as well.
And you know, you have to not only master the design part, but then you have to transfer that onto whatever's out there. So VistaPrint, for example. Mm-hmm. Students have to know how to transfer a file.
To print out correctly. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we have a digital publishing class that the students do. The main thing for that class is the students have to realize that they can have the prettiest design, the best design on the computer, but if it doesn't output correctly, nobody's going to see it. It's worthless. So they do learn how to make sure that their files are, you know, ready digitally to be printed out. And it is still very, very important, whether it's going to be read on the web, whether it's going to be printed on paper. They really need to make sure that they've created those files the correct way.
I'm sorry.
No. I had a client that had a great logo. Mm-hmm. But when they reduced it to mm-hmm. put it on their business card, yep. it lost
everything.
It was like, yep. what is that, a spot?
Yes.
You know, and it was kind of too bad because they were so in love. The mm-hmm. client was so in love with that logo.
Yep.
But it just didn't do a thing for
them.
We
talk about that in the graphic design one course too, right away as freshmen too, because we do have a little unit on creating logos, and they need to understand that the logo could appear on a pen. Or it could appear on a billboard or something larger. So it has to have that scalability. It has to have the readability at these sizes, the different sizes. And it's things that they may not have thought about. And sometimes clients don't think about that either. You know, we see that. Or they might have this wonderful design that they want to embroider on shirts, and it's just not going to be possible because it's just too intricate. And, you know, sometimes we're educating the clients as well, and the students have to learn how to educate their clients politely, especially in the internship when they're working on that too, saying, I like the idea, but this is the reason it cannot be done. If we change it this way, then we can go ahead and
that
and
we're
use
breaking
it.
The cardinal rule number two of graphic design. If we whatever that cardinal rule is,
but as interns, they can't fire clients. They can when they're working freelance.
Yeah,
but
most often they don't though. Right. Try to work with your client as best as you can.
So does the school have a placement office so that when people finish up, if some of our listeners were interested?
No, we actually don't. That is something that would be nice, but we don't have a job placement. I do get contacted and I will notify students. So my graduating students, I ask who wants to be, you know, who wants to have their email. So if I get contacted, which is fine to contact me, I can send it out to the students and say, okay, this job came in. So we do a little bit of that. It would be nice if we had a place on the college to do more of that.
So a great segue. We're coming towards the end of the show here. We always sort of ask our guests to look into a crystal ball and tell us, you know, what is, you know, as you look out 1, 3, 5 years, what do you see happening in this field and what do you see happening in this field in the New Hampshire area? And we also would like you to give us a website and a way to contact you.
Okay.
The best way to do those things.
I think the field is just going more and more digital. You know, it's just even books, you know, books were printed. A lot of people said I would never read. I was one of those people that said I would never read something on my iPad. And now all my books are on my iPad. So I think we're going more and more digital. So some rules change. Typography, you know, we used to for books, for instance, it was always a serifed font because that helped the readability, the flow of the letters. Mm-hmm. And because these we have generations growing up digitally, we don't use serif fonts. And so now even books are being printed in a serif font instead. I was just talking to my typography teacher about this before I came here today, that we have to change our rules because they are changing. But I think we're really going more and more digital. But we still need to have well-designed pieces if they're going to be digital as well. They still need to have the readability. They still need to capture the imagination of the viewer, of the reader, and to be marketable.
And I would guess that, as we were saying before, there's a real blending of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So images that maybe come from Asia or from other cultures, the Middle East or whatever, are beginning to work their way into...
We're seeing that with the in this country, even with the advertising as well. So that is working its way in print and advertising on TV as well.
Yeah. And if people want to reach you, Joanne, what would be the best way to do it? And if they want to learn about the program at the school?
They can call me. So it's my direct line actually is 603-206-8047.
Give us that one more time slowly.
603-206-8047.
Okay.
And email is also another way to get a hold of me. And you want me to spell out my name?
Yes, please.
Okay. It is JJAGODOWSKI@CCSNH.edu. And CCSNH is Community College System, New Hampshire.
Right. And if for some reason someone's driving and they can't be writing this down, they can contact Andrea, I would assume.
They could.
Right. And you're...
If they're a business owner and they need some graphic design help, give me a call.
Right. Very good. And they would do that by contacting?
641-4379.
Right, or nhsbdc.org. Right.
You know, I was just thinking something for the future. What about graphic design scratch and sniff?
Incorporating more senses into it.
More senses. Yeah. It's a beautiful picture. You scratch the picture of the banana and you get banana.
I had that one for my children.
I wish we could do that on the monitors. You know, somehow.
Some of the students last year did posters for some of the businesses that had a retail component to them. And they got these beautiful, you know, just beautiful posters for a large display.
Mm-hmm. That student was very proud. My interns do presentations at the end of the semester. And that student was so proud to be able to bring those and show those and his presentation to his classmates. You know, he just was very, he felt so good about that.
That's so great. Well, that business actually was just... the owner of that business was just awarded, Small Business Champion of the Year.
Wonderful.
Well, Professor Joanne Jugunowski, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We really enjoyed this conversation. It was very educational, and it was real interesting.
Thank you.
So we'll have to have you back, and we'll be keeping trends, and feel free to give us any advice about how to dress and do color draping and whatever.
Yeah, right.
And as we do every week at this time, we're going to turn over to Andrea to sign us off.
Okay, and I'd like to thank you too, Joanne, very much. And mostly I'd like to thank you for keeping us in your loop for being able to host an intern.
It's a great relationship.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. And so, listening audience, I'm just going to leave you with this thought. You can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.